If you're unfamiliar with the 80s movie classic Gremlins, Mogwai are fantastical creatures that require a very specific environment to thrive. Otherwise, well, let's just say it's best to get all the information up front. In this episode, Leah meets with special guest Dr. Merrill Winston to talk about consulting in settings that are not always prepped for behavior analytic interventions. If we want to make meaningful and lasting change, we need to ensure that the environment we're working in is actually ready for behavior analysis. A quick reminder that we are ACE approved and offer continuing education credits that can be found on our website, atypicalba.com. Head over there after listening and gathering the two keywords to purchase your CE and check out the references from this episode. And now, on to episode 13, Not Ready for Mogwai, Marketing Behavior Analysis with Dr. Merrill Winston.
This is a lesson that I learned really quickly in organizations. And okay, two lessons. What I first learned is there's a massive disservice that's being done to behavior analysts, because for as much as we struggle in the way you have just articulated, we don't struggle as much as we should, because we often work with people who have asked for our services and are in a rather vulnerable position. They have a child, perhaps, or an adult. They don't know how to solve it, fix this. Something is not right. Help me. And they assume that you know what you're doing, right? So even if they hate being pulled out of the matrix, and this is a huge problem, and I'm not trying to say it's anything less than enormous, but because they're in a vulnerable position, they're going to listen to you, and they're perhaps even going to try what you ask them to try.
Okay. But they may not be 100%.
No, they're probably going to call you Attila the Hun behind your back. But okay, do you know where you don't have this luxury? In organizations. Okay. So where you go into boardroom of people who all have the credentials they need to know the answer to everything. Yeah. And your credentials are what? Because I don't put BCBA on my card. Why would I do that? I'm just some lady, right, who does behavior stuff.
Behavior lady.
The way that I have to phrase what I'm doing has to be silent. So we have a motto, right, at my company. And we call it, what is it? It's apparently vacuous, stealthily scientific. So the things that people buy, the things that people love, right, mean nothing at all. Okay, so for a great example is, like, let's say there's an organization where you've got some pretty massive cultural issues and you need everyone to get on the same page in terms of what good looks like. Yeah, we're not going to go in there and say, well, I think you'll find you need to identify this, and then you need to do this, and this role needs to do that. No. Do you know what we sell them? Habits of excellence.
Yeah.
Right? Because they love that.
Yeah.
And all they need to know is you bought Habits of Excellence. It's fluffy. It's pink. It has sparkles.
Yeah.
Great. And if you want to do that, all I need you to do is this, this, and this. And by the way, this, and this are exactly the same as if I hadn't called it something pink and fluffy.
Right.
You're going to get the same outcome. And there's no other option. When you're working in organizations, you have to adapt or die really quickly. And whatever you're saying that you think is correct is going to be questioned into the ground. And you have to explain yourself,
right,
using science.
Yeah, we were talking about that, Kelly. And what I'm learning from, he's actually done visiting now. His name is Rene Hollebronze, and he's Dutch, and he's a business consultant. He's lived in our country for a number of years, like 20. He lives in Virginia. And I'm learning from him that we've been doing it all wrong, because what I learned is that sales is really important. And then second thing I learned is everything is sales. We just realized as a crisis management agency, we've been selling wrong the entire time. We're telling everybody how awesome we are. That's the wrong thing to do. The thing we have to tell them is that we are the answer to their prayers.
Yeah.
But we have to know what their prayers are. And if we are not 100% certain of what their prayers are, we're lost. We've lost already.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what I'm learning is we don't tell them how great we are. We say, you know, you do this. I bet you run into this. Oh my God, we do. Don't you hate it when this happens? Oh my God, we totally hate that. That happens to me every day. We have a solution for that. You do? All right, this is it. This is it, right? What's your pain? Tell me your pain.
Yep.
I have the thing for your pain.
Yeah.
But what we don't do is we go in and we say, I know what your pain is and I have the thing for it. Shut up. I'm going to tell you what your pain is.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you what the solution is. And that's what we've been doing.
So what we do is exactly that. Acknowledge the pain point, acknowledge the sort of position in the system or in the industry, and that informs the pain point. But instead of saying, I have the solution,
right,
I say, I have a number of possible solutions.
Right, right.
Which one would you prefer?
Right, right, right.
If you do this, this will probably happen. If you do that, that will probably happen. What would you like? Everything is your choice. You're the boss. And that
people have to believe it was their idea. That's the other part of sales. Succinctly, the best person, Jeffrey Gitomer, said it this way. No one wants to be sold, but everyone loves to buy.
Yes.
And so the thing is we have not, as behavior analysts, we're not good at getting people to buy.
No. And we have been, okay, sorry.
No, it's fine.
Heresy. We have been informed in no uncertain terms that it's dirty. Selling to people, marketing yourself, marketing
what you
can do, very dirty business. And the reality is it's dirty if you're lying, it's dirty if you're disingenuous, it's dirty if you're not aware of your capabilities, blah, 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 you're working outside your scope. Yeah, that's bad. But understanding how to communicate with another human being so that they understand that you do understand
this is exactly,
where they're coming from.
This is exactly what we've been doing for the last year in revising our sales pitch,
cool,
script. We spent a year doing this. Like every word we say to a customer. And the thing is, here's the funny thing, Leah and also Kelly, that businesses... Here's the funny thing about sales, and this is very telling about our industry. Behavior analysts don't get fired because people didn't get better. They should get fired because people didn't get better. And they should at least say, this person's not going to get better because I don't understand what's happening and I'm going to stop giving services because it's a waste of money, right? They should at least do that, but they don't do that. They continue to provide services for people who don't get better. No business would stay in business with a product like that.
Yep.
No. Yep. No real business would stay. This is government business. What's government business? Government business means you don't actually have to accomplish anything. You must simply meticulously document all your failures. That I worked for the state for 9 years. That's all we did was document. Did they learn to brush their teeth? No. Can I see a data book? It's right here. Everything seems to be in order. Carry on.
Yes.
And this is the entire institution.
Yeah.
This is the entire thing. Is your paper where it should be? Yes. Carry on. Can anyone do anything? No.
That's
we're alive. Right. Carry on. And this is what it's come to.
Do you know what? I think we've identified another matrix. Okay, so we entered this conversation, right, with the idea that a massive issue that our field has.
By the way, Kelly, she's awesome. I'm just going to talk about you for Kelly. Kelly, she's awesome.
I know. I have really cool people.
We find all the cool people and we just gather them all together.
Yeah, anyway,
so we talked about ripping people out of the matrix and how they don't like it. Yeah. I think what we've now established is what needs to happen to behavior analysts is somebody needs to forcibly kick them the hell out of the matrix, because that's the only way you're ever going to adapt. It's a very sink or swim thing. The things that I've learned in I'm going to say years to be generous, but it's really the first few months of working only in organizations. If I would have known those things when I started practicing as a therapist, I would have been head and shoulders beyond in terms of capability. Not because I would have understood organizational issues. No, because I would have understood the very critical elements of how to communicate with other humans, right? How to engage them, how to understand what's actually going on, how to pay attention to things that are in their system instead of directly in front of my
And
face.
How to pay attention to the contingencies operating on them
yeah.
that make them interact with you the way they do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Those kinds of meta contingencies.
But these are things we do not, number one, we wouldn't know to teach them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we haven't had to develop the skill set.
No one's taken the time. What they're doing is they're asking people to, this is what I'm learning kind of, and we learned this in sales too, when you said about organizations. Renee's a business consultant. And he said, you guys don't really have a good mission statement. And he said, everything flows from that and all the values flow from that. It has to be real. It has to be something that people can actually get behind. And what we saw was the mission statement we came up with, it really wasn't what was happening.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, either this mission statement has to change or our behavior towards our customers has to change because this ain't lining up. And I think that for so many of these places, I used to just think, okay, here's the problem. It's just a kid. It's just a behavior problem. And I just fix a kid. No, it's not. In the school, what does it start with? The principal. If the principal's a shit principal, there's no business. You have no business even doing a consult in the room because the teacher won't do what they're supposed to do. The principal won't support the teacher. The principal doesn't even want the kid here because he doesn't believe kids with behavior problems should be in the school. Well, if the behavior analyst met the principal and the principal said, and like, this is the worst kid I've ever seen in 25 years. And I'm like, dude, you need to get out because this is the best kid I've seen all week. All right. And, but you know, if that's the principle, this place will not accept behavior analysis.
And it'll the principal,
like a bad kidney, okay?
And the principal, is not even close to the top of the problem, right? Because the principal, he answers to who? I don't know.
Superintendent.
Who answers to who? Right. Our strings are all being pulled all the time. And if you have not made an effort to understand who's pulling the strings? What direction are they pulling the strings?
What pressures are you under? Like, what aversive stimulation are you under?
Yep.
That makes you want the things you want. They don't identify any of that. And that's everything. It's everything.
You mean self-awareness as well as systems awareness? Oh, my God.
it's just that the things are so broke. Actually, here's what we're doing. It's so funny because we came up with this thing that it's used in business called the signature system. So it's like 9 steps we bring people through. And what you see is that it shows that at each step, if you don't have these things in place, you're really not going to do very well with this. And we're trying to show them organizationally, we're trying to take them through it because what we've learned is if you're going to do crisis management, you're going to put your hands on somebody, it can be very dangerous for everybody involved and even kill somebody. It doesn't belong in certain places that don't have certain systems set up. And this is what we're learning. Group homes are very dangerous. Schools are much safer. Why? Schools are highly regimented and there's a million eyeballs. Group homes are not highly regimented and there's 4 eyeballs. Okay. And so the thing is, these kinds of issues are what we're kind of like wrestling with now, how to bring people through some of these things. That puts systems in place so that behavior analysis can't exist in the wrong environment. And all the behavior analysts just kind of ignore this. It's just like, no, it goes beyond the teacher. And this is one of the problems. Oh, I'll give you the other example. No Child Left Behind. The aptitude test, the FCAT, right? That drives goals. And those goals are picked up by the IEP, and those goals have to be taught to a nonverbal child who has no concept of numbers, will never use numbers because they can't even talk and they can't even feed themselves, but they got a number goal. So this disjointedness, like you said, comes from the state all the way down, and it doesn't get filtered properly. And because of that, the behavior analyst is fighting somebody in an IEP meeting over a kid who's learning to write his name and he can't wipe his butt or talk.
I knew you were going to go and wipe your butt. I mean, you'd have to go there after that.
You have to go there, but he's learning to write his name. Yeah. Is he going to sign checks? Is he going to sign legal contracts? He's doing that. He doesn't even know what his name is.
No, but the crazy thing is, so when you have conversations, even with behavior analysts who work in schools, right? Nobody has ever come up behind them and tapped them on the shoulder and said, have you thought about any of these things? Have you been taught to pay attention to why that teacher is doing what they're doing and what's motivating the teacher's behavior and what's motivating the
teacher? And how many days out from retirement the teacher is? Because I'm sure there's a mathematical formula there for the probability of them following your plan is inversely proportional to the number of days left until they retire.
Yeah, yeah. What do we call that in high school? Senioritis. Yeah.
Senioritis, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hello, wonderful listeners. Here is a quick break in the action to give you your first keyword if you were listening for CEs. Your first keyword is ready. R-E-A-D-Y. Is the environment ready?
So, but yeah, all those human factors that a good, here's the other thing,
factors
are not good managers. And the thing is, if you were taught to be a good manager by somebody who had to manage people, you'd know how to do all those things. You'd know how to deal with a cranky staff. You'd know how to deal with a
That's
teacher.
That's our next rabbit hole. Yeah.
Right.
Let's have
that would be another one. Just like you
leadership.
Know, right. Leadership, managers, most of the places that we see, they don't have good. I'm seeing this. It's so cool that we're talking about this, but I see this in depositions that I read because I'm reading a deposition about a case where somebody died and the attorney's asking systems questions. And it's really interesting. So they're going, well, when you found this happened and somebody said this is a problem, what did the higher ups do? Well, we told them about it, but I don't remember what happened. Was anything done as a result of this? I don't remember. This is everywhere. And the thing is, behavior analysis, even though it's very powerful, it doesn't work real well in a broken system.
No.
You know? And so the thing is, I actually did this once to somebody and then it was they got kind of pissed at me and they never emailed me back again, but it was from a facility that used us and they wanted me to come do consulting. And I knew what the facility was. It was an institution and I knew the kinds of problems they had. And I said, well, before I come out to do a consultation on individual cases, I'm going to ask you these 7 questions and I want somebody on the administrative team to get me answers to them before I come out. And they were things like, how are your staff supported? What happens when they bring an issue to management? What happens when this? What are your systems in place for this? I never heard back from them again.
Probably because they didn't exist.
They didn't exist. I said, if these things, I go, with all due respect, to respect my time and effort and your money, I will not come out and do a consult if I don't have the answers to these 7 questions. And they never came back with it. I never did the consult because I knew if the answers came back, we don't have it. I was just going to say, I'm not going to waste your money. I'm not going to waste your money and my time. It's not going to happen because this is not going to go because you're not ready. You're not ready for Mugwai, which is a quote from the movie Gremlins. Mugwai is what the gremlins are referred to as, or Mugwai. And the kid didn't take care of it. He got it wet. He fed it after midnight. He said, you're not ready for Mugwai.
Never feed the gremlins.
And the thing is, right, so behavior analysis is kind of like Mugwai too. It's very powerful, but if you use it wrong, if you put it in a setting where it's not prepared for it, then you think, oh, it's bad. And it's like, but no, it isn't. You didn't use it right. You weren't ready for
Mugwai. But do you know what? This there's so many, you don't even, I don't know where to start because, so we work with organizations, yeah? And I wouldn't have that job if this was common knowledge. So the idea that, okay, there are so many ideas that are not common knowledge. One, that if you're in a leadership position that you need to know how to lead people, right? So you need to know how people work. Or that if you're in a leadership position, the behavior of the people you are leading is ultimately your responsibility. If they are malfunctioning, that's on you, sunshine. And also, if your boss is malfunctioning, and you haven't told them,
that's
right?
That's on you.
That's also on you. It's on you until the bitter end, because if they continue to malfunction and you continue to keep your job, who's to blame then, right? So, but the,
yeah.
the responsibility is an issue, the how to navigate the system, the fact that there needs to be a system in place to encourage behavior that you want to see. These are foreign concepts. Behavior analysts should be in a prime position.
They should. And a lot of times, I think the other component that we need is environmental management check. Like before you even do a functional assessment, who supervises whom?
It seems really obvious when you say that. Like,
right.
Okay, I'm going to say,
after you've experienced the pain of it, it seems very obvious.
Yeah, yeah, no, it always seems really obvious. But there's so many times that we get, I get called in to solve what seems like a really discrete sort of issue, but the answer is like, okay, that's an icing intervention, right? You have no cake. you're going to need to bake the cake first.
No cake for you.
There will be no cake for anyone because you want to do this really nice fluffy sounding thing, but there's nothing for it to plug into. And the understanding of the thing to plug into, actually, my little entrepreneur brain just lit up when you said, what about the idea of attaching a systems assessment to the routine type of non-systems assessment that behavior
will your behavior program take root and grow in this hostile environment? That's kind of what you're asking. Yeah. You're going to plant a flower here. Yeah.
The very environment that killed the flower already.
Right.
But you want to plant a new one in the same.
Right. Oil. Like everything here is failing. The paraprofessional, the teacher are constantly fighting. The principal thinks something else should be done. And we want you to come write a behavior plan. And I was just like, no, this is not fertile ground. This is like desert. This is no.
Yeah. Yeah. So like knowing is half the battle, right? And it would be really amazing to increase awareness within the field, not to mention outside the field about these things. But then there's a whole nother half of the battle, which is, and then what? So if you've identified that the infected soil has killed your flower, what do you do now? How do you fix it? And that is a vast skill set, right?
What do you do first? What do you address first? What can you address?
Yeah.
All those, yeah.
Yeah, what do you ask first even?
Right.
How do you identify where this has gone terribly wrong? Because it will be more than one place. Do you know what I mean?
Right. But it's, yeah, all those kinds of, I think, variables, like just as an example, like sometimes when I used to do a lot of the consulting, I go in with a teacher who looked kind of exasperated. I go, let me ask you something. This doesn't go on the record. This is just between me and you. And you answer any way you like. I'm not here to judge you. I just need to know how you feel. How do you feel about this kid? Do you like him? And then sometimes they'll do one of these. No, not really. I go, it's okay. It doesn't make you a bad person. Thank you for being honest with me. Why? Doesn't make her a bad person, but it makes her at the end of her rope.
Yeah.
And this may not be a good place to keep her.
Yeah.
Know? So it's like one of those things. Or if they say, I really like him. I mean, he bit me yesterday, but he's really cute. I go, I will work with you forever. You know, it's just like, this will not be a problem. This will not be a problem. But my point is, that's one of the variables that make your program not work. I hate this child. This child makes me miserable. I've had it.
Yeah. Do the individuals responsible for implementing your program have the emotional capacity to do what you're asking them to do?
And again, we're doing it in a non-judgy way. We're saying it is what I give people the example of a teacher that I know who's possibly one of the best teachers I've ever worked with. And she had a kid that had a mouth on him like a sailor. He had a diagnosis of autism, but it wasn't no autism. His comments were highly personal, sexual in nature, and very foul. Okay. And little kids with autism can't come up with that if you train them. Okay. But anyway, she got to the end of her, she just got to the point. She goes, Meryl, I know what I'm supposed to do. I agree with you. I was doing it. She goes, I just can't take it anymore. And she just broke down crying. And I was like, this is not a bad person. This is a good person that's at their end and they need some respite. But that would be part of the assessment. How do you feel about this child now? And even though it bothered her to say so, she couldn't stand him anymore.
Yeah.
Right. That has to be respected. The administration would have to get behind that. And they did, you know, and support them. And then, you know, we can work with this. But if it's like, I hate this kid and I'm stuck with them. Oh, Jesus, this has to change.
But it's that value bit that I think we trip over all the time, because it's really difficult for humans, you know, because behavior analysts are mostly humans. it's really difficult for
That's funny.
To separate the way we've all been raised and the environment in which we all live, which is very value laden. Things are good, things are bad, things are better, things are worse. And then you want to just remove all that and have a conversation around
yank them out of the matrix.
Just what is. And actually getting to the point where things just are and can be understood as just what they are and what they are today and what you'd like them to be tomorrow and what kind of things might you need to do to get from A to B, and the extent to which value clouds this is the extent to which we're going to fail.
Our business consultant, Renee, said the other day, there was another consultant. He said, like, you know, to get what you want, you have to become the kind of person that you need to become to get what you want.
Yep.
In many instances. And so the thing is, here's one of the fundamental, and I thought, wow, what a great phrase, because behaviorally, this is what it means to me. Becoming the kind of person, that means you're gonna have to end up with some new reinforcers and aversives.
Yeah.
All of us are always going to have plenty of reinforcers and aversives. But changing who you are, becoming a different person, that means you're accepting trying to gain interest in new reinforcers, and you're trying to deal with your aversives to the point that they're not so aversive anymore. And when you've done that, you're a different person, right?
And
so this is what
understand the journey that you had to go on to get from A to B. So you have the faintest clue what you're actually asking these other people to do.
Right. And so the thing is, if you reference that when you're talking with them, I was you, I too. Actually, that's so funny, because that's another sales technique. It's called the feel, felt, found. And he goes, I see that you feel upset. You know, other people that we talked to, they were upset too. But you know what? They found that when they did this, they weren't quite as upset. Isn't that brilliant? And it wasn't thought of by a behavior analyst. Oh my God, we're not the smartest people on the planet.
No, it turns out we're not. And actually, the field of sales and marketing and all of these good things, when they're done well, they are what we should be, which is equally focused.
It's seamless too.
Yeah, equally focused on the individual and the external reality. And that's where I think we struggle. But that's good sales does that exceptionally well.
Here's the other place we struggled, and this is where I learned this too. Left brain, right brain. We only hit the left. And what that really, that's what behavior analysts do with data. So what behavior analysts do, I love Pat Fryman's phrase, and that is, you cannot reason someone out of something that they didn't reason themselves into. So, which is one of the most brilliant things I've ever heard, because what that means to me is, you cannot change an emotional response with data.
With logic. Yeah.
It doesn't work. So what you need is, you do need stuff for the left brain. Look at this data. Now look at how much happier this parent is.
Mm.
Look at the smile on her face now as compared to before. That's the right brain. And that's when you get them.
Which curiously is all anyone wants to hear anyway. I've yet to meet anyone, including like process engineers, okay? They don't care about the data. Do not care. Getting anyone to take data, even if they love data in their own lunchbox, it's never going to be their passion. It is a thing they have to do on top of the things they have to do. So if it wasn't their idea to come up with, to take that data, and they are not vastly interested in the result.
It's a demand, and it's a demand.
It is. Yeah.
I mean, that's really all it is. But I think, I think that's really, that's interesting. Yeah. It's there's so much stuff that I think needs to be done, but I think it's all doable. And the thing is, if we just took from the salespeople, we understand all the minuscule stuff and we understand the science upon which it's based. The people in marketing don't, but they're functionalists. They're like the board. They take from everywhere, right? And they are bottom liners. They are bottom liners. What works? If it works, we're using it. We don't care where it came from. We don't care if it's based on Satan worship. If it works, we're using it.
Okay. This is actually a concept that makes me nearly worship the work of Gilbert, because something that I read in Human.
I'm sorry, who's Gilbert? I'm ignorant.
Sorry, Tom Gilbert. Don't worry, you can look him up afterwards. It'll change.
All right.
But for the moment, here's something that will make you want to look it up. So Tom Gilbert made a distinction between scientists and engineers. So he says scientists approach the world, and I'm going to badly mess this up. I'm really sorry. Okay, anyway, here's how I understood it. Scientists approach the world sort of like a child. So we don't really care how things end up. We just want to
know.
Yeah. We just want to know. Okay. Which is the polar opposite of what engineers do. Engineers have a desired end state, and they will move hell and earth use and employ what the hell ever method to get to the desired end state. And it is just a matter of
behavior modification.
That's right. Okay. So
big fat reinforcers and big fat punishers.
So what happens, because what we're trying to be is engineers. What we've been requested to be by society is an engineer. Here's your desired end state. I need you to get there. Okay. Yeah, yeah. But we're approaching it like scientists, and people have very little tolerance for that. Not to say that science is not the way to go. It absolutely is. But
they want the product of science. They don't want to know how you got there. That's
exactly it.
They don't want to know where the microchip comes from. They just want to watch their damn movie.
Take everything you've learned from science and use it to inform your B to A. That's engineering. Yeah. It's hardly science. It's informed by science, right? But it's actually engineering. And I think because we struggle so much with this idea of, do you know what? Perhaps the last time you were asked to get to B, you used this road, but maybe this time you're going to need to use a different road. And maybe this time the things you use, the principles you employ to get from A to B, maybe they come from other places. Maybe somewhere in the vast world of psychology, they have a different way of looking at this, and phrased that way, it's going to capture the attention and understanding of the people you're working with.
Yeah, actually, I've done that with, like when I talk about things like, I call it confrontation seeking, and all it is picking a fight. But behaviorally, what you're talking about is someone is engaging in behavior that will cause you to engage in behavior to do something to them that will give them a justification to do something back to you. It's actual social phenomenon. It's very sophisticated. And what's so funny is when I tell it to other behavior analysts who haven't really thought about this because they're just concerned with discrete trials and schedules and stuff like that, when I go, is the kid doing this? They go, yeah. I go, does he steadily increase until you finally come over and make him stop? And they go, yes. And I go, does he not stop till he's hurt somebody? They go, yes. I go, it's confrontation seeking. They go, oh my God, it's like, you know this kid. I go, no, I just know how humans work in social settings when they're higher functioning and he has to justify his aggression, because, you know. But my point being that they don't have this kind of that bigger picture thing. Like what is the I was talking about with Kelly the other day. I talk about in my book, I say, like, I know we're taught as behavior analysts and Jim Johnston would shoot me for it. But when we talk about behavior problem, the real important word is not behavior in this case, even though we're behavior
analysts. You're going to love Gilbert. You are going to love Gilbert.
Oh, the functional word is problem. And usually it's problems. And I said that when you go as a behavior analyst, yeah, head banging is a problem. It's not the problem. It's not even close to the problem. It's the symptom. The problem is not being able to talk. The problem is no one gives you any reinforcement. The problem is you don't know how to control shit in your environment. The problem is you have a toothache. The problem is these are all the problems.
Yes, so right? Many problems. And you better work on all of them. Otherwise,
we're going to work as many as we reasonably can that we think we can move.
Yep.
Right? Because there may be a problem at the government level that we can't change. So, no, really. Well,
there will be, actually.
And we're going to work around. We're going to find a loophole in this stupid government law like they do at some facilities. And they go, he's going to have a math goal. And they're going, okay, we're going to do his math goal. We're going to spend as little time as possible on it. Take the blocks out. Do a hand over hand. Say 1, 2, 3, and then mark it off. Remember, you got to show how you fail. They know he's not going to learn to count. They know they have to satisfy the government. They also know the government's not going to give them for not teaching the kid how to count. They just have to say they tried. They didn't have to say how long it had to be. So they found the loophole, right? And they said, we're going to work around this, right? But that's something that we have to do as behavior analysts for those things that affect our clients that we do not have the power to change.
Hello, here is the second of your two key words, affect, EFFECT. What effect does your program have?
Yeah.
So I think that's another thing for behavior analysts, because when we're talking about root causes, remember, Kelly, we were talking about that before, root cause analysis, which I talk about in the book. Basically, the stupid analysis is Why does he escape? Well, he's biting me every time I train him. And the behavior analyst goes, well, I think it's escape motivated. And the teacher's like, I know it's escape motivated. Here's the important questions. Why does he want to escape? Well, I don't know. Well, that's where all the important shit is. And here's another question. See Timmy over there doing the same task? Yeah. How come he doesn't want to escape? How come they all don't want to escape? Well, I don't know. Maybe you should find out. Because maybe the reasons that cause them to not escape might apply to this guy, right? You know, so this is like the whole thing, right? Go deeper. Why does he want to escape? Well, he doesn't like this task. Why doesn't he like this task? It involves writing. Why doesn't he like writing? It's hard for him. Why is it hard for him? He didn't learn it the right way. Why didn't he learn it the right? You could take it all the way back to George Bush and No Child Left Behind. So. No, this is my joke.
Like degrees of Kevin Bacon, but it's like right. six degrees of whys.
Yeah. Right. So here's the point. You have to stop when you get near the George Bush part because you can't do shit about that. Mm-hmm. But you can back up to, well, he hates writing. Can he type? Well, I guess he could.
Maybe, Meryl, maybe this forms the backbone of our systems assessment that we can attach to the normal sort of assessment of function for individuals. Sure. Because yeah. Actually, if you knew, and it would have to be backed up by a bit of here's a map of a system and some things sure. you might want to look at, right? Sure. But perhaps, look, as much as the five whys drive me kind of nuts because it tends to be poorly done and oversimplified and whatever. Hmm. But as a general idea, if you understand what system you're navigating, it works really well. And I would suggest that if most behavior analysts only went back a few whys,
that's all you have to do usually.
It would be a world of difference in terms of the conversation they were having.
Yeah, even if you just went three. So it's just like, well, you know, he tried to escape from the task. Why? Does he not like this task? Does he not like the person? Or does he not like any demand? That's only one level deep, and it's already opened up three questions.
Yeah.
Right. So, and yeah, you're right. You don't have to go that deep. Not usually. And as I said, as you get deeper, you get so far away, there are variables you can't control. So it's kind of moot at some point, right? You know, when you go back far enough.
And if we get, okay. So, right. So that's like, let's do that. That's got to happen. But also, if we could sort of bolster this with the, I might even call it value of being open to identifying other ways to get where we're going, right? So like an engineer, like, you know, someone who like sales, someone who's interested in function, it might lead to some conclusions that actually perhaps the best way forward involves maybe a behavior analyst, maybe also other people who can help solve the other problems, because you might not be able to solve them all. You might require collaboration with other types of people.
Well, like oral motor problems or yeah. people that have problems controlling their mouth. They call it apraxia, but really it's just, sometimes it's just weak muscles. They need to be developed, yeah. right? The tongue lateralization. I don't know any behavior analyst that knows how to teach tongue lateralization. That's done by OTPT, right? But if you're gonna teach them how to talk, they might need some of that. Right. So just as an example, but there's a million things like that where people from other disciplines and stuff can address variables that affect behavior because so many variables affect it.
Yeah.
But it's I think that not that we can't fix everything. No, but we can take into account more things.
Yes. And if we could do that, I think we would take a massive step towards improving our reputation, not to mention the outcomes.
Thank you for listening to this adventure of the Atypical Behavior Analyst. Check out the website, atypicalba.com, for more episodes, references, and to purchase CEUs. To stay up to date, like and follow us on social media. Just search Atypical Behavior Analyst. If you like the show, please rate and leave us a review. And if you want to support the show but don't need CEUs, you can help by clicking the Buy Us a Coffee link in the show notes. So until next time, listeners, grab your towel, keep exploring, and we'll see you in the fringes.